Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, May the 14th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word. We're so grateful for all the things that you do and for how you lead us in the path of righteousness. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us the guidance that we need so that we might walk according to your will and our lives might be safe in your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we continue our study from Bible readings of the Home Circle, published in 1889, and the subject for today is the Holy Spirit and His work. May 14th, 2021. The Holy Spirit and His work. Question: what precious promise did Jesus make to his disciples shortly before his crucifixion? John 14 and verse 16 says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Who is the comforter, and what was he to do? Verse 26 of John 14 says, "But the comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said unto you." Question: why cannot the world receive him? Verse 17 of John 14 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him." How intimate is his union with believers? Verse 17 says, "But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." That, of course, is verse 17 of John chapter 14. Question: whose presence does the Holy Spirit bring to the believers? Verse 18 says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." What promise is thus fulfilled? John chapter 14, verses 21 to 23. But we will read a little bit of Matthew 28 and verse 20, which says, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." So what promise is thus fulfilled? "I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." What threefold union is thus established? Verse 20 says, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Notice that Romans 8 and verse 9 shows the spirit of each of the three persons of the Godhead to be one and the same spirit, of the same background, and completely united in thought and word and deed. All right? Question: how does Jesus, through the Spirit, seek an entrance to every heart? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me." Question: why was it necessary for Christ to go away? John 16 and verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So what was the Comforter to do when he comes? Verse 8 of John 16 says, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Question: by what other title is the Comforter designated? John 15 and verse 26 says, "Did Jesus say the Spirit of truth would do?" John 16 and verse 13 says, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Notice the Spirit speaks, teaches, and bears witness. He makes intercession. He distributes the gifts, and he invites the sinner. He does all that. Question: whom did Christ say the Holy Spirit would glorify? Verse 14 says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Notice that it is plain from these scriptures that the Holy Spirit is the personal representative of Christ upon the earth, abiding here by dwelling in the hearts of those who believe. It follows, therefore, that any attempt to make a man the vice-regent of Christ in the place of the third person of the Godhead is an attempt to put man in the place of God. Thus, does the fundamental principle of the papacy set aside the person and work of the Holy Spirit, which is what they try to do. Question: how has God revealed to us the hidden things of his kingdom? 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Question: who moved upon the prophets to give their messages? 2 Peter 1 and verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1 and verse 12 says, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And that answers the question, after Pentecost, how was the gospel preached? It was preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, as found in 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. Question: how are believers sealed? Ephesians 1 and verse 13 says, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed, and that Holy Spirit of promise. Let me read that text again for you. Ephesians 1 and verse 13 says, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So what warning is therefore given? Ephesians 4 and verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Question: is there a limit to the strivings of God's Spirit? Genesis 6 and verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Notice, the limit is determined by the creature rather than by the Creator. It is when there is an utter abandonment to evil, and further appeals would be without avail. God, foreknowing all things, may designate a definite period of probation for man, as in the case of the 120 years before the flood. But his spirit never ceases to strive with man as long as there is hope of his salvation. Question: for what did David pray? Psalm 51 and verse 11 says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Luke 11 and verse 13 gives the answer to how willing is God to give to us the Holy Spirit. Luke 11 and verse 13 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. In Review and Herald, November the 29th, 1892, under the heading The Perils and Privileges of the Last Days, beginning at paragraph 3, it says this: the work of the Holy Spirit is immeasurably great. It is from this source that power and efficiency come to the worker for God. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter, as the personal presence of Christ to the soul. He who looks to Christ is in simple childlike faith, is made a partaker of the divine nature through the agency of the Holy Spirit. When led by the Spirit of God, the Christian may know that he is made complete in him who is the head of all things. As Christ was glorified on the day of Pentecost, so will he again be glorified in the closing work of the gospel, when he shall prepare a people to stand the final test in the closing conflict of the great controversy. The prophet describes the enemy's plan of battle, saying, "I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven as on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by his sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and the faithful. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of every devil, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. The people of God are to be called out from their association with worldlings and evildoers, to stand in the battle for the Lord against the powers of darkness. When the earth is lightened with the glory of God, we shall see a work similar to that which was wrought when the disciples, filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaimed the power of a risen Savior. The light of heaven penetrated the darkened minds of those who had been deceived by the enemies of Christ, and the false representation of him was rejected. For through the efficiency of the Holy Spirit, they now saw him exalted to be a prince and savior, to give repentance unto Israel and remission of sins. They saw him encircled with the glory of heaven, with infinite treasures in his hand to bestow upon those who turn from their rebellion. As the apostles set forth the glory of the only begotten of the Father, 3,000 souls were pricked to the heart, and they were made to see themselves as they were, sinful and polluted, and Christ as their Savior and Redeemer. Christ was lifted up. Christ was glorified through the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon men. By the eye of faith, these believers saw him as the one who had borne humiliation, suffering, and death, that they might meet life and not perish, but have everlasting life. As they looked upon the spotless righteousness, they saw their own deformity and pollution, and were filled with godly fear, with love and adoration for him who gave his life a sacrifice for them. They humbled their hearts and souls to the very dust, and repented of their wicked works, and glorified God for his salvation. They said to one another, This is the very one who was accused of gluttony of eating with publicans and sinners, the one who was bound and scourged and crucified. We believe in him as the Son of God, the Prince of Salvation. The revelation of Christ by the Holy Spirit brought to them a realizing power, a sense of his power and majesty. And they stretched forth their hands unto him by faith, saying, I believe. Thus it was in the time of the early rain, but the latter rain will be more abundant. The Savior of men will be glorified, and the earth will be lightened with the bright shining of the beams of his righteousness. He is the fountain of light, and light from the grates of heaven. A jar has been shining upon the people of God, that they may lift him up in his glorious character before those who sit in darkness. Christ has not presented himself in connection with the law as a faithful and merciful high priest only. He has not been presented like that by many who claim to be the preachers of righteousness. But this is how he ought to be. This is how he ought to be presented. He has not been lifted up before the sinner as the divine sacrifice. His work of sacrifice, substitute, and surety has been only coldly and casually dealt upon. But this is what the sinner needs to know. It is Christ in his fullness as a sin-pardoning Savior that the sinner must see. For the unparalleled love of Christ, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, will bring conviction and conversion to the hardened heart. It is the divine influence that is the savor of the salt in the Christian. Many present the doctrines and theories of our faith, but their predestination or their presentation is as salt without savor. For the Holy Spirit is not working through their faithless ministry. Let me repeat that again. Many present the doctrines and theories of our faith, but their presentation is as salt without savor. For the Holy Spirit is not working through their faithless ministry. They have not opened the heart to receive the grace of Christ. They know not the operation of the Spirit. They are as meal without leaven, for there is no working principle in all their labor, and they fail to win souls to Christ. They do not appropriate the righteousness of Christ. It is a robe unworn by them, a fullness unknown, a fountain untouched. Oh, that the atoning work of Christ might be carefully studied. Oh, that all would carefully and prayerfully study the Word of God, not to qualify themselves for debating controverted points of doctrine, but that as hungry souls, they might be fulfilled as those that thirst and be refreshed at the fountain of life. It is when we search the scriptures with humble hearts, feeling our weakness and unworthiness, that Jesus is revealed to our soul in all his preciousness. When we become partakers of the divine nature, we shall look with abhorrence upon all our exaltation of self. And that which we have cherished as wisdom will seem as dross and rubbish. Those who have educated themselves as debaters, who have looked upon themselves as sharp, keen men, will view their work with sorrow and shame and know that their offering has been as valueless as was Cain's. For it has been substitute for righteousness, and been destitute of the righteousness of Christ. Today God is calling you to be a witness, calling you to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your every thought and action, so that the words that you speak and the actions that you take will be led by Christ and led by the Holy Spirit, that you will be filled with that Spirit, so that everything about your life will reflect that which God has given you, your actions, your thoughts, your even your facial expression will be a revelation of who Christ is. God is calling you today to be His child, to be His servant, to be His steward, to be His representative, to carry His message, to proclaim His truth, not just by words, but by every aspect of your personality. Will you do this? Will you commit yourself to God? Will you allow yourself to be led by Him, to be guided by Him in every aspect of your being? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that You give. We thank You for the privilege that You have given us to be called of You, to be witnesses for You. We ask, Lord, that You would surrender us completely to the power of the Holy Spirit and allow us to see how important it is that we engage in that kind of surrender so that we might walk according to Your will and be obedient to Your cause. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, May the 14th, 2021.